right.
All
good
right.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello. Here we go.
This is your co-host. I'm Scott Kreitzer.
And I'm Sheldon Joe.
And you're listening to Of Course Radio on BBS Radio. And this is Miracle Minded Radio, where we're going to be focused on A Course in Miracles. And because of that, we'll start each show with some sort of a quote directly from A Course in Miracles. So Sheldon, I think you've got something ready to go for this morning.
Yeah, this is the one that I used to kind of say to myself before when we were doing the course group, just because I was always freaking out and scared and nervous about what to say and how it's going to go, just like I am right now.
You would never know it.
You would never know it. I'm freaking out. So I'm going to read this one. It says, this is from the course. I'm here to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal.
Thank cool. you. That's from the text?
That is text 2.5A18:62. I don't know what that means. But
I will go over that at some point, but yeah.
It's a different referencing than what I'm used to. So it's like page 25 or something like that. It's
pretty okay, early, yeah, early on.
Yeah, it's really
okay.
early on.
Yeah, so again, this show is all about A Course in Miracles, and mostly because I think for both Sheldon and I and those of us in our lives, A Course in Miracles has really touched us in extremely deep ways, probably more surprising ways than we ever thought possible. And I think because of that, you know, we developed a really beautiful community around it. And in fact, actually, the catalyst for all of that, our friend Darren Owens, who has a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Darren.
Happy birthday, Darren. We're not sure if he's listening. Darren works at the Edgar Cayce ARE Foundation, and he's an author for them as well.
And he was the one who pushed you into starting the group.
That's correct.
Which is where we met. And then I ended up, when you left and moved to Seattle, I ended up taking over the group and all that kind of stuff. So Darren actually started the whole thing.
He did. Yeah. And so
it's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Darren.
Yeah. A little, woo-hoo. I guess you could say miracle that we're doing this on Darren's birthday. So if you're listening, Darren, happy birthday. We miss you. We love you.
Yes, for sure. So are we going to talk about how we met and all that kind of stuff?
Or? I think, yeah, let's just do a quick intro about, yeah, probably how we met. And then I'd love to hear, it's always cool to hear stories, even though Sheldon and I know each other. I always love to hear how A Course has touched you and like what's prevalent for you now with A Course and how you're using it. And, you know, sometimes we don't see external things change, but sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that as well.
So, you know, I mean, for me, it's changed basically everything about my life. So anyway, the course has changed everything about my life. Probably I was basically, you know, heavy into drugs. I was smoking speed, methamphetamine, like literally a couple months before. And I'd gone from speed to crack and heroin back to speed. And I was quitting a million times and trying to do all this stuff. And literally, I think it was a couple months before. I used to say it was a year before, but I think if I really track the timeline, it was literally just a couple months before I was literally hitting the speed pipe. And one day I was just sitting there. I was like, wow. And I just had this is not me. This is not who I am. This is not who I want to be in the world anymore. And it was really that moment, because I'd quit hundreds of times before, but that moment just hit and I felt this weight lift off my shoulders, and I had a little kit of all this drug paraphernalia, and I had thrown that away and rebuilt it like 50 times. But this time I just let it go and I was just like, I'm done. And then within 2 or 3 months after that, ran into the Sacred Paths bookstore where we met.
I didn't realize it was that close together.
I probably thought it wasn't, but when I really started one day trying to figure out exactly what the timeline was, it was super close. Way closer than I thought. I thought it was like a year. And I literally believed that in my head. It was a year before I had been clean for a year. But really, I hadn't. I'd only been clean for a couple months, I think.
And it was literally that at that moment. I mean, you really did stop. I mean, like, you kind of like really kind of woke up big time.
Yeah. And it was one of those moments where it was like, you know, revelation, whatever, epiphany. It was just like weight off the shoulder. I could feel this palpable lifting up going on, and I was in tears, I think, which isn't that unusual for me. It was. And then, you know, walked into the Sacred Paths a couple months later, and then you were standing there and happened to be starting the first Course in Miracles group that very, very first night it was starting up. I went to the second one. I didn't go that night, but the second one. So It was right after that. So it started pretty fast, and things started unraveling for me. I got really into it, and it just started shifting everything about how, you know, it's a process, and it's still a process, and we're still in it. And, you know, it's not like it's something that ever stops, as far as, you know, I feel.
Yeah.
It never stops. You know, it's not like even, you know, we're here just sharing our experiences, but, you know, it's still a process for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just all.
But for you, I mean, when you, like, literally when you opened A Course in Miracles up, did the words speak to you right away? Was it easy, difficult to get into? What was that like?
So, you know, I'm reading that intro part where it says, this is A Course in Miracles. It's a required course. Only the time you take it in, you know, is it, and I'm like, who is this guy? Who's this dude? You know, and I was like, who does he think he is? You know what I mean? And I literally flipped the back of the book open. And I'm starting looking around, because I think that was the first thing when I opened it. I'd skipped the preface and I was reading that. And I was just like, and this is the Foundation for Inner Peace version, right? So I remember just feeling like there's a certain kind of certainty to those words and the tone of those words. And like, who is this guy? Who's this cat? You know, who does he think he is? Right. Yeah. But it hit me really strong right from the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like, wow, one of the cool things about the course, obviously, is it has a pathway, right? A very clear pathway. It's got 365 lessons. You know, I'd studied Buddhism and Taoism and, you know, a lot of other things, and read all of the Don Juan Carlos Castaneda. So I'd done all this, you know, Alan Watts, tons of stuff over 20 years, right? But you can get into something, start something, read something, feel inspired by it, but then what do you do next? How do you actually apply it? How do you make it change your life, right? What do you do with that, right? And so the course was like, cool, 365 lessons, I can do that, you know? And so that was one of the things that I really liked about it from the very beginning. I just felt like, wow, here's a very clear pathway that you can use in it, you know? And what do the lessons say? You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to understand it. Yeah. You just have to do it, and it'll work. And so I think especially at that time in my life, I was just like, sure, I'm game. I'll give that a shot. How about you?
Well, yeah, I'm curious from folks, like, yeah, how did you get into it? Because it's interesting to hear a lot of people just say, well, God, the title sounded really intriguing, but it was really hard to get into, or, yeah, the words really spoke to me and I got into it right away, or I knew somebody I really trusted and I just stuck with it, to things like Marianne Williamson, or probably Gary Renard, Disappearance of the Universe, which was a big one for me. So one, I'm always curious what people have to say. And that's why I just want to remind people, if there are folks out there listening and you wanted to share something, we had some time, I think, near the end, you can call in at 888-627-6008 if you just wanted to share your story of how you got into A Course. We'd love to hear that. But just real quick, for me, I remember I kind of had a wake-up experience where it wasn't as extreme as yours, but it was, you know, I was living a typical corporate life. I was an engineer in a big corporation in Seattle, and I was just barely getting by, you know. I just didn't realize I was miserable, but I was. And one day I'm sitting, you know, on my chair and watching TV. I had a beer in my hand, but all of a sudden I realized I wasn't even really there. I was kind of zoned out, and then I noticed all these thoughts racing through my head, just very negative thoughts about myself. Wow. And that woke me up. Uh-huh. I literally turned the TV off. I dumped my beer out, and I within months I had gotten rid of my cable.
Wow.
And I was sitting around just meditating a lot, just kind of watching things for a while. And that started it. And that eventually led me to, you know, I've been very fortunate. I think the women in my life have been pointing me down a path that has been helping me out, including my current wife, Mary, who I want to say hi to. She's recovering. She's been...
Hi, Mary.
Yeah.
Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah. We love you.
We love you, yes.
And it was one of those people that kind of direct me towards, oh, you should go see like a metaphysics person or psychic. And I was in Sedona, had a reading there at the Center for New Age, which is a great place. I recommend it. And the person there was like, wow, you got a lot going on and you have to go buy A Course in Miracles. And I bought it. But I would open it, and it was really hard for me to, I would read it and get confused or kind of go, I don't really get this. And it wasn't until another friend of mine had just read Gary Renard's Disappearance of the Universe. Mm-hmm. And she just, the way she said it was, you have to read this. Because she knew I was into A Course, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not, I was kind of off and on with it. And ever since reading that book, it just, I got it. I really got it.
Cool.
And because of that, I really got into A Course, and I would carry it around all the time and read it. And I did the workbook. It mm-hmm. took me a while. Mm-hmm. I think it took me a couple years to get through the mm-hmm. the year long workbook. But ever since then, it's just been a part of my life. And like you and I talk about, and we'll talk about more about how much we use it in our day to day life.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
It's always about the application, right?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can read something and say, oh, that's cool, feel good, go to a workshop, walk away feeling all good, and then, you know, get stuck in traffic and start honking their horn and flipping people off, right?
Right.
So it's like, what do you do when you're in the real world, in the world, out there, at work, you know, yep. with your family and stuff is coming up? How do you use a teaching, whatever it is, and apply it? And that's where you get the benefit from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think a lot of the Buddhist sects now are really understanding it's not about going up into a mountaintop and meditating for decades. It's about, yeah, definitely learning to meditate, get grounded and centered, but you got to be in the world to apply the peace and the love that
yeah, and for me, it's like everybody has their own calling, right? And so mm-hmm. those people that are out there, those people who feel called to monastic lifestyles or whatever, you know, that's a beautiful thing for them. They can hold and anchor that place. But yeah, for me at least, right, it's been about taking a teaching and using a meditation practice to anchor yourself into a level of connection, you know, with the Holy Spirit, with God, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to term it, right? And using that practice of meditation to anchor in that space and then taking that peace that you have, you know, awakened to, right, or reconnected with,
yep.
remembered, whatever you want to say, and then bringing that into the world, whatever you're doing. So then you're operating from a different place as you're moving through the world, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Right. That's why, I mean, I love the metaphysics of the Course.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is useful when you go to apply it, you know, mm-hmm. just as we're talking, you bring things into the right. world, you know, and there's the part of your mind that realizes, well, you know, according to the metaphysics of the Course, this is all an illusion. You
right.
know, our ego made this up, so
right.
don't get trapped by it.
Right.
And so then you realize, okay, if I've got an angry customer or an angry right. employee coming to you, that's not really happening, and don't
right.
get sucked into it.
Right.
And apply forgiveness.
Right. It's a layering process, right? It's an undoing process, and it does take some time, I think, because we have a lot of layers of stuff, at least for me, right? And it's a continuing process that sort of deepens over as you you know, release and heal through forgiveness, through love, through compassion, through for yourself and others, right? But it does shift things, right? And then all of a sudden you start to look at those people and places and circumstances in your lives that might be pushing buttons for you, might be upsetting you or might be triggering you, that you start to look at them instead of, you know, you're a victim of their behavior. You start to look at that as a blessing because it brings into your mind awareness of places where you're not healed, where you're shifting into judgment and condemnation. And so it helps you say, wow, I need to look at that. What is that for me? You know, and then it allows you to release. So those things that are your buttons become blessings for you. And obviously when you're in it, you don't feel like that. But, you know, as you do the work with the Course, it starts to become more and more clear that that's what's happening.
Right, exactly. And that's why I think, you know, the Course is set out to be a roadmap mm-hmm. to help with all of that. In fact, you know, I'm kind of a nerd. So one of the things that I did,
kind of?
No. Yeah. And And again, it was actually when Mary was in surgery the last week, I just kind of sat through and I was curious, like, how many times does the Course mention certain words, like God, from what I can tell? And again, this is probably inclusive of all of it. And it could be also, you know, the pamphlets, the two pamphlets, but like over 3,600 times it says the word God.
You counted the whole book?
I love technology, so luckily it counted for me, but... you know, it just points to, like, you know, why is it that maybe it's hard for some people but easy for others? Because it also mentions, like, Holy Spirit mm-hmm. almost like 800 times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you start to think about something like that, how many books out there do something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it, you know, it also mentions the ego almost 900 times mm-hmm. too, because it's trying to balance it out and talk about duality and non-duality. And I say all that because I think, as you're talking, you sort of develop a personal relationship either with the contents or with that scribe
mm-hmm.
or the voice that was speaking to Helen mm-hmm. Chuckman. I'm just curious for you, like, what sort of a relationship, personal relationship do you have with this material, or with, is it with Holy Spirit or with God? Or, I mean, what is it for you?
Well, it's... shifts how you approach and look at, I think, everything in your world. So it becomes not so much, for me, it's become a matter of service, right? Of extension, of how can I be of service? How can I help? How can I help healing for myself and for everybody? Just mm-hmm. like that little thing that I read in the intro, right? As a teach to heal, I am healed, right?
Yeah.
That we're all brothers and sisters. We're all intimately, profoundly, inseparably connected, right? We're all one. And so, as you know, you do unto your brother, right? As you're doing unto yourself. So, you know, that whole reality, as you start to really see that and recognize that that's the truth,
mm-hmm.
that we're all connected, it shifts how you approach everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's a process of shifting from that notion that I'm in this body separate from everybody else and, mm-hmm. you know, that I can get away with stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Right? Or, I can get away with stuff. I can do something that person can get away with it.
Exactly.
You know, you know,
that's, yeah, I just want to say one thing, which is why I think that's why I feel like the Course is it's not the way, but a way.
Mm-hmm.
to get us there. And especially in a world today where everyone does want to isolate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You see everybody, you know, the pictures I see of people, like a family on their smartphones.
Yeah, yep.
Whereas what I love about the Course is the way that you get released is through your interaction with your brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters. You're not seeing them as, you know, people walking around, you know, doing things to you or
right.
around you.
Right.
It's remembering that they're a part of you. They are spirit right. with you.
Right. That they're your brothers and sisters, that we're all one big, huge family,
yeah.
that we're all intimately connected. And I think that as you start to release and heal some of that stuff for yourself, that desire
mm-hmm.
to help or to, you know, to share, to send love or whatever. I mean, that's kind of what happened. We, you know, I'm part of, we're all part of a nonprofit called Arts Unity Movement,
mm-hmm.
which we have a center in San Mateo, California, 149 South Boulevard. We'll throw the little plug, artsunitymovement.com. But I mean, that center started from the group, the core members of the group that you started, you know,
mm-hmm.
7 years ago.
Right.
You know, that group went through a process of healing and releasing to where, you know, it's, again, it's still a process. You're still in it. It's still, it's not like it's over, but it's just this point where you start to feel so much joy and love
yeah.
and, you know, you want to share it and let's yeah. do something. How can we share that? You know,
yep.
let's create a center where people can come and experience these things in different modes through artistic expression, through dance and movement, through sound,
mm-hmm.
vibration, through meditation, through the Course in Miracles. And so we have a bunch of offerings there, but that whole thing, that whole idea, which really was Colleen's idea, right? Colleen Lorenz, hey, Colleen,
Hi,
if you happen to be listening. But that, you know, she was the founder, it was her idea, and she's carried it for a long time, but she's also been a long time a student of the Course in Miracles for many years. But that kind of came through for her as a vehicle for expressing and extending and sharing love, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, so we all joined in that, and that's been really cool. And it's just a natural extension of the process of healing, which is all this is really about.
Right. And again, I think going furthering the theme of, you know, we are doing this together, mm-hmm. whether it's conscious or subconscious. Mm-hmm. And I think you were pointing out the fact that I think, you know, course study groups mm-hmm. can be very important aspects of anchoring this in or trying to understand parts of the course that can be either complex or where your mind kind of goes, this doesn't make sense to me, or I completely disagree. This is really pushing my buttons.
Right. And then also from the aspect of support and inspiration, I think that for us, when we were going, when, you know, we were attending your group, and then, mm-hmm. you know, as the years went by, for a lot of us, it became a source of, you know, you're frustrated during the week, your stuff is coming up, your buttons are getting pushed. And then we would meet on Wednesday nights and just be like, you know, inspired, somebody else's story of how they used the lesson, or wow, you know, I was caught up in this, and then suddenly I had this awareness, and then I was able to release, and I had this peace come over me, or whatever. You'd hear these stories and go, wow, that's really inspiring. Mm-hmm. So it and again, we're all healing together, right? So yeah, when you would hear somebody else's story, it would actually inspire you to continue through the process and to understand that, you know, it's a process, and that, you know, that shifts are happening for people, and that you could continue, you know, doing the work.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that the meetings or the groups or whatever can really be helpful. I know there are people out there that do it on their own, but it's certainly helpful.
It can be helpful. But yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing I do love about the course is it is your own personal mm-hmm. course. It's all about your perspective, your experience, mm-hmm. and how you forgive and how you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit,
right.
Or remembering your place back at home with God in heaven.
It's always individualized because that's where we think we are. That's where we start from, this place of separate individualness. And, you know, even in Tao Te Ching, it says the way that is the way isn't the way. You know, if somebody's telling you I have a universal way that will work, even if the teaching is you apply it exactly the same, right? You have your own karma, your own experiences, your own history, your own mental, mm-hmm. emotional upbringing, and all that stuff that you're, you know, working through. So you have to apply any teaching, it'll be individualized for you, right?
Right.
And so, yeah. And the course says that by design. It is, you know, it accepts that, and that's its starting point. It has to start from where you are. I've always said that the teaching is incredibly simple. The book is so thick and seemingly complicated because that's how our ego is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how our egoic mind works. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, you have to start where you are. It starts you. It takes you from where you are, and then it helps you to make a transition.
Yeah, it's like poking at the same issue, mm-hmm. but from like many different facets,
right.
which represents how our mind splintered at the separation.
Right. I remember thinking it was like this sort of Aikido method of like, no matter which way you wanted to go with your mind, it was blocking you.
You know,
I want to go over here, bam, boom, 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 boom. And it was totally blocking your egoic mental thought process, mm-hmm. and saying, there's another way. Mm-hmm. There is another way. You know, no matter what you were thinking, it would address that, and that way was through, ultimately, through surrender. Right.
Right. Yeah, that's why I do love that quote. You know, mm-hmm. it is a mandatory course. It's just the time it takes. And, of course, time is illusory. But it's basically, it's so confident mm-hmm. in that we're, you know, collectively, the one ego mind will wake up mm-hmm. and remember you never left mm-hmm. home, which is a beautiful thought when you think about it. Like, one, that just... I kind of let out this big sigh, like, oh.
And you don't do it alone.
Right.
You do it with all of your brothers and sisters, right? All of your family, you know? So we're all in this together, always. Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful, truth.
It is, yeah. And it also, this might be a little side topic, but sometimes I'll think about it, or like, you know, in Buddhism, they talk about bodhisattvas that mm-hmm. will vow that they mm-hmm. never leave mm-hmm. because they're here to help mm-hmm. suffering. Well, I mean, I think that's just natural occurrence. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though we appear to be separate, even mm-hmm. though we've had people mm-hmm. completely become enlightened,
right.
I mean, they're still in the collective mind helping.
Right.
So it's not like, it's like you might at your mind level return home, but you're still going to be helping
right.
all of those left behind until it's right. just completely done.
Right.
Until that 100th monkey thing happens exactly. and all of a sudden, I don't think it's literally everyone that will wake up. I think it's just enough that it just...
And if you want to get into multi-dimensional time frames and all that kind of stuff, you can still look at it like that, and it still happens in an instant for yeah. all of creation. Yeah. So, you know, you can get yourself into all of that. For me, and, you know... J.M., John Mark, did the continuing teaching called The Way of Mastery, which is, you know, kind of an extension of Course in Miracles. There's a couple of those out there that are beautiful, but it talks about, you know, it's not about escaping, right? It's not about ascension and I want to leave this world because it's so miserable, right? It's about descension. It's about you're already ascended. You're already one. You've always been one. You've never separated. But it's about taking that light and bringing that light into and infusing it into this vehicle that you have, your body, and infusing it into everything that you do so that everything that you, you know, every thought you have, every word you speak, you know, every action that you take, mm-hmm. every movement that you make becomes an expression of love and compassion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the real power mm-hmm. of A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this, I mean, without any judgment, I would say that I think there are some people that think that A Course in Miracles is about manifesting mm-hmm. in this world, but I think the Course is really clear. It's just about really remembering and manifesting the love that mm-hmm. you have. Beyond that, all the physical stuff, it clearly says that that's not what this is about.
Right. It's, to me, kind of just describing how I look at sort of, you know, the manifesting and the metaphysics or whatever you want to call it of it. It's like everything that's happening in your world that you're experiencing is a projection of your subconscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's there. You know, because you have wounds and things that need yeah. to be healed on a subconscious level that you're not aware of. So this world makes them conscious for you. It's so that's why it's happening not to you, but for you. Your experiences are not happening to you. You're not a victim of them. They're happening for you. They're happening for your healing, your release, right? Yeah. So when you see them and you see something happen and you understand that that is a gift, a gift from God, a divine gift. This is the way it's working so that you can see what is a part of your unconscious, unhealed aspect. And then so you're looking at that, and how do you heal that? You heal it with love and compassion. You heal that. Yep. You can't heal it in through forgiveness, love, compassion, forgiveness. You can't heal it any other way. So when you so you're manifesting that. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, we're perfect manifestors all the time. You know, mm-hmm. we are absolute creators. We, you know, that's an aspect of divinity. That's an aspect of God, right? Is creation, extension. Yeah. So you can't avoid it. You can't not do it.
Right.
And you're constantly doing it. So then it becomes, okay, well, let's look at what I've got here.
Yeah. Well, and I do think a big piece to this is that, you know, at least my understanding is that consciously, like I don't know enough to really know how to heal.
Right.
Or to know how to forgive. It's really, the Course, I think, is very clear that you're handing this mm-hmm. off to the one who knows, or the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. Aspect, which kind of makes it easier. You sort of recognize the situation and go, ooh, I'm caught up in it, mm-hmm. and now I want to hand this over. Mm-hmm. But yet, at the same time, you feel more peaceful. You can be more peaceful.
And that's the hardest part,
yeah.
is letting go.
Yeah.
I think yeah. that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Is, and as a matter of fact, I think a lot of people will say, oh, you know, show me what I need to do so I can heal this.
Right.
And it's like a mental egoic trick
yeah.
that your mind is playing so that it can stay in control.
Yep.
Like, you don't want to release and say, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I right. don't know what this means, right? I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
You show me, and to let it go. We don't want to do that. Right. So we, you know, our egoic mind will create all these weird permutations. And I think one of them that I've seen is like, you know, show me what I need to do. I'm releasing this so you can show me what I need to do so I can heal it.
Yeah.
Me, the separated egoic mind, still wants to heal it because I want to be in control of it.
And I want to be done with it right now.
Right. And I'm going to do it. And I'm the doer. Yeah. Right. You know, and you know, what does he say? I'm not the doer and the maker. Yeah. Father through me does all things. Right. So it's like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
That's why the 12 steps work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because the 12 steps, you know, I screwed up my life. I have no control over it. I made a mess and I'm surrendering to a higher power. And that's why it works. It's because you are letting go and releasing to a higher power.
That knows how to heal it
fully.
That
knows, right.
Not just what you think needs to be healed.
Right.
Yeah.
It is beyond your own mental conception.
And that's why I want to get into like some, I guess, personal experiences, probably more in the workplace, because I think we both are seeing some cool things happening there. But before we did that, we are at the bottom of the hour. I just want to remind folks that if they'd like to, near the end of the show, you could call in live 888-627-6008. And also for this radio show, we do have our own website. It's ofcourseradio.com. We have a contact page. If you have any questions based on what you're hearing or have any comments, feel free to drop us some comments on there, and we'd be more than happy to get back with you.
And can I plug Arts Unity?
Please do. Yeah, I was just going to say.
So in an Arts Unity movement, we have a center here in San Mateo, California at 149 South Boulevard. But you can also check out our website, which is artsunitymovement.com. So it is in the process of being reworked. So hopefully we'll have a new version of it out pretty soon.
Great.
But we're offering all kinds of stuff almost every night of the week.
Right. And through Arts Unity Movement, you actually have a core study group that you have.
Right? Our core study group meets Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m. at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo. Beautiful. So anybody who happens to hear this and stumble across it and want to join us, you're welcome. Come on in. It's a cool group.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome, for sure.
I know, I'd love to meet the group.
We have fun.
And you typically is you do.
We cry. We have fun.
Yeah.
We heal. We release. We talk. It all happens.
And to let people that are listening in, that Sheldon has a tendency to allow the Holy Spirit to run through him, and when that happens, water leaks out.
I start crying like a baby. So I'm the one doing most of the crying.
So sometimes we might have to take a Sheldon leaking break.
It could actually happen in any moment.
Any moment. Well, we look forward to it. But yeah, I figured for the time that we do have left, I mean, really, I think, like we started talking about, I think you and I are both really applying or trying our hardest to apply the course during our day jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, that's exactly where we need people to be working in the course. I know I got kind of caught up in this whole momentum several years ago. Well, I'll get out of corporation because it's evil and, you know, there's no spirituality there. But I think that's why we practice a course, so that we're there in those environments and we can bring more healing and love and peace and forgiveness, especially there, if any place.
Right. As you heal, and you radiate more light. That's how I like to look at it, right? As you heal, you become a pillar of light. So what happens is the more healed you are, you know, you walk into a place and it's full of negativity and everybody becomes positive, rather than you walk into a place and it's full of negativity and you go home and you go, wow, man, I feel exhausted. And that's in degrees and stages, and it's a continual process. But I think eventually that's what starts to happen. You start to affect things, but you have to, the thing that's cool about the course is, and one of the first things I think when I was doing the lessons and I realized this is like a mental pattern interrupt. That's what I used to call it. It's like a pattern interrupt in your mind stream and how you think from that egoic perspective of thought. And it's like a train, and it's like a train wreck, right? And it's moving. And, you know, something happens, you get triggered, and your mind starts to think in a specific way. You know, oh, that person always does it to me, and da, 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 you know, and if they didn't say that, I would, you know, and it's always blaming and attacking and judging, right? Which is you attack to defend. That's one of the lessons, right? I attack to defend. And so that stream of thought can be broken up and how do you stop it, right? So like you were saying, that first moment for you, that first catalytic moment was that awareness of your thought stream, right?
Yep.
And so the cool thing about the lessons for me was I used to write them down on a 3x5 card and stick them in my pocket. And then, so I manage an auto body shop, right? So I'm fixing cars and, you know, working, dealing with customers and my guys in the shop and all that. And it's pretty chaotic and high paced and very stressful kind of environment. And I was angry a lot, you know, no car was ever getting fixed well enough, fast enough, you know, customers complaining, whatever. And there's just a lot of anger and, you know, judgment, and you're getting pissed and, you know, caught up in things all the time. And I used to be able, when I started, you know, with you and we were doing the workbook lessons, and I would stick my hand in my pocket. And if I was having a good day, I could stick my hand in the pocket, feel the 3x5 card and know what the lesson was.
Oh yeah.
But most of the time, I had no idea what that thing said because I was so pissed or whatever, so caught up. And so I would go into the bathroom and I would pull the card out and I would read the lesson and I could feel what I would describe as Holy Spirit descending into my heart and radiating just by going into the bathroom and reading whatever lesson I happened to be on. I could feel the shift. And for me, it was like it would happen for – I could feel it so profoundly that sometimes I'd be in the bathroom and oftentimes I was on my knees praying and I would be like, because I didn't want this anger. That was a big thing for me, is I knew I didn't want to be that angry anymore.
Yeah.
But it would release and I'd be like, oh, I didn't even know what I was angry about. And then I would open the bathroom door.
Yeah.
And I would still have my hand on the door and I'd be screaming at somebody. And I would just be right in it, like instantly. And I'd be like, wow, how is that possible? How did that happen? Where, because I knew what was, I knew what I experienced. I was like, 10 seconds ago, I was completely in this deep state of awesome peace. I didn't even remember. And now I'm furious again. And I would flip back and forth. And so those, you know, for me, the healing process has been, right, the more the time that you're in anger and the time that you're in peace, right, in your normal life, I think, you know, you have that one transcendent moment where you're staring at a sunset and you feel peaceful, right? But the rest of the time, you're caught up in your mind and you're pissed and you're angry and you're judging and, you know, stuff's happening to you and you're just going through your life, right? And you have, oh, that sunset was beautiful. I felt so good. And that's the only time that it happens. And then as you do in the course and undoing that and going through that process of healing, those moments of peace start to get bigger. And then the moments where you're caught up and totally angry and pissed off or whatever it is, however it comes up for you, or guilty or feeling shame or whatever, those things start to lessen and the moments of peace start to get bigger. And then eventually I think it happens where you're virtually, you know, peaceful most of the time. And then only those, you know, we still have our triggers that still happen, at least for me anyway. And you get triggered, and but it's, the time frame is shorter. Right. The intensity is less. The
recovery time.
Yeah, your recovery time is way quicker.
That's so why, that's cool. I was one of the concepts and one of the things that I do love about the course is the different ways that it comes up with metaphors. And there's a concept that runs throughout it about being above the battleground, which is sort of, you know, the battleground is your ego mind because it's always doing battle, resisting, you know, your natural state.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's what we're trying to do is remember to be above the battleground. And, you know, I think the course is like, you know, basically join with the Holy Spirit to do that. And that could be so many different ways. And we'll definitely get into that in future shows because there's so much to talk about there. But, I mean, I know for me personally, you know, I think I can openly admit the last 2 years for me have been very stressful, very up and down because I took on a new role, decided to be a manager in a large corporation. And it's, for someone that's sensitive, it's been a challenge. And luckily I've had, you know, good support. I've got a very understanding and loving wife who's been wonderful.
Mary, thank you. She's her name's Mary by no accident.
Exactly. And, it's sort of like, trying to remember to be above the battleground when you're in the middle of the battle, that is very tricky.
Right.
It's simple. It sounds simple, but it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do.
I think that's why the whole metaphor for the Bhagavad Gita, right? Arjuna was in battle, right? He's going to war.
Yeah.
So,
because that's what your ego wants you to believe, that you're in war, so you better be attacking or you better be defensive all the time. Which is basically post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Sure.
I noticed that's sort of what I was having because I felt like I was in a battle almost every day. And luckily, I mean, I'll admit it, there are days where I completely forgot about the course, or I would do it
for
a little bit and then I'd forget a lot, you know. And now it's like I gotta
really, who among us has not done that one?
Right. But like now, because I've been working on it, now those attack moments are mm-hmm. few and far between, so that I have more of a breathing room to right. remember. Because I like to do things like, you know, I think the workbook is great for mm-hmm. short little things. Like, I you know, I'm not a body, I am free,
right.
I'm still as God created me. I love that one. That reminds me, like, oh, get out of that, hand it over.
Right.
Or there's one in Your Immortal Reality, Gary Renard, where the set of masters recommends you look at someone, you basically say, "Your spirit, whole and innocent, all is forgiven and released."
Right.
And that just immediately takes me out of the battle.
Right. I like the 360 to 365, the last one. "This holy instant would I give to you, be you in charge, for I'll follow mm-hmm. you, certain your direction gives me peace. Done that one for years and years. Still do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll come in at times. But, you know, it's just a beautiful reminder, I think, for surrender. We were talking about the whole mental. I think that that's one of the things that's kind of cool about meditation, mm-hmm. for me anyway, was like learning to watch the mind stream mm-hmm. as a witness,
yep.
right? Learning to watch the thoughts flow across your mind, you know, like the Buddha say, you know, the description, oh, you're the sky and the clouds are floating through the sky. That's your thoughts, right? So you're not the thoughts, but becoming, recognizing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through the practice of meditation, it was very helpful of watching the thoughts throw through your mind and recognizing that you don't have to attach to them. You don't have to follow them. You don't have to continue through that, you know, that process of judgment, which is what they're usually doing, right? Judging, condemning, attacking, whatever, whether it's you or somebody else, right? You're either judging yourself and stuff like that. And so meditation for me was helpful, along with those lessons for these pattern interrupts where you're stopping it. And then you can start to, when you as you anchor into that place that's connected and peaceful, right? You start to see those thoughts and you can kind of chuckle at them, right? It's like, mm-hmm. wow, that was crazy.
Yeah, right.
I had a murderous thought. I wanted to rip that guy's head off, you know? Yeah. I really wanted, you know, or whatever, because I used to have a lot of, you know, angry, violent thoughts, but it's like you could see them, they, you know, float across there and kind of chuckle at them. And I think that's that, you know, you must become as a child to return to the kingdom, mm-hmm. right? That there's an innocence in the witnessing, non-judgmental yeah. witnessing of whatever's coming up, yeah. right? With a sense of wonder and awe. And as that starts to anchor in and you're watching your thoughts without judging and condemning them, mm-hmm. you become more peaceful.
Yep. I think that's a really good metaphor to kind of jump on, which is, yeah, thoughts are sort of like these cars going across. Mm-hmm. And we all have a tendency to go, oh, I got to jump in that right. car and take it for a ride.
Right.
And then typically you end up in a crash or.
Yeah. One guy, who's that one guy I saw? And he was just like, it's like a taxi and it opens the door. You don't have to get in. Right. I've always, you know, talked about like a train, you know, and you're on that train because it's like these tracks and it has a momentum to it. That thought stream has a momentum and an inertia to it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, big old long heavy train track does. And you, once you get on it, it's hard to get off of it.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's pulling. It has this, it's like a 50 car train. And, you know, once you're on it, it's really difficult to stop. But if you're not on it, you're watching it go by and you never get on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy because you're not on it.
Yeah.
But that's the trick.
It is. Yeah. And the whole point is to not get on the ride.
Right.
And not only that, but you hand over the, well, I think I'm seeing these
mm-hmm.
weird, dramatic things in front of me, and now I want this healed because mm-hmm. I don't want to see that anymore. I want mm-hmm. true sight. Mm-hmm. I want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it takes practice and time.
Right.
And yeah.
Right.
It's like I feel like sometimes I take one or two steps forward, but then a step back.
And it's, you know, I could feel peace instead of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of those where, you know, you have that power of choice,
mm-hmm.
You know. One of the teachings I've is that you have the fundamental power that you have in the universe is the power to choose.
Yep.
Right? And of course says that.
Yep.
That is all it is. It's about choice. What you're doing is just making a choice.
Every moment. Yep.
Right? And you're making a choice for Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
for coming from you know, in India, right? Self-realization, God realization, right? That place deep within you that is God, that is connected and one, right? Mm-hmm. Which is connected through Holy Spirit, right?
Yep.
So you're choosing to act and to think and to be in alignment with that, mm-hmm. or not.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that's, you know, that's at that core simplicity for the course, right? Is that's yeah. what you're doing.
Yeah.
And one will result in peace and one won't.
Yeah, exactly. And again,
and you'll know.
In the middle of it, sometimes it's hard. Because
right.
I know, like, as a personal example, like, there was a moment where I think it's in my recent assignment where I'm sitting in a meeting room and people are literally kind of yelling at each other, right? They're just kind of going after each other. And it's sort of my job as a manager to also, you know, to bring peace to that situation, mm-hmm. but also I'm kind of like practicing the course at the same mm-hmm. time. And there was probably like a weird delay before I reacted. And mm-hmm. sometimes you realize, well, maybe you should just kind of do your job sort of thing, mm-hmm. your physical job, and then maybe you can forgive it even right after, because sometimes it can be tricky to do both at the same time.
Sure. I mean, I think that's ultimately what this is about, right? Is bringing that peace, that love, that
yeah.
you know, into but, the moment, yeah. right? And sometimes it doesn't, you know, sometimes it doesn't work for us because yeah. we're in the moment,
yeah, right.
right? We get caught up in the moment for that moment.
Or but, you realize that you are coming across a lot more right. peaceful, but you're still having to work in this
for sure
environment that's not so
for sure
peaceful.
In how we do that in each moment. I mean, I had one situation where, I had a painter and he didn't really want to be there, and he was not productive and not helpful and not supportive of the group and the team. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I said, I work at a body shop. So the body men are fixing the cars and then the painter's painting them and the guys put it back together. So it's all a teamwork to make this product, which is a well-fixed car that's beautiful again, right? And if somebody's not doing their part in it, it makes it harder for everybody. And this guy just, you know, wasn't doing his part and he didn't care. But I was feeling guilt because mm-hmm. I want to be a spiritual manager or whatever. I want to be in mm-hmm. peace. So I didn't, you know, I'm working with him and, oh, I'm supposed to work with this guy and do all this stuff and to try to, you know, not be, you know, not be strict or whatever, feeling like, oh, I'm supposed to not be strict, or I have all these judgments about how I'm supposed to be as a manager in a specific mm-hmm. way. And at one point I was sitting at my desk, literally surrendering and praying and saying, show me a sign, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not sure how to be or what to do or anything, but I want to come from love and compassion, mm-hmm. regardless of what that is. And it like 5 minutes later, there's basically this rack that you put parts on, like a hood, and it had a bunch of dirt in the bottom of the rack. So when he was painting parts that were attached to it, the pressure from the paint would stir up the dirt and it would land on the part. And he was painting a car. It was very important. It was the owner's friend and all this stuff. And there's all that. This has to be perfect. And it had dirt all over it. And I'm like, how did that dirt get there? And he goes, oh, because of that rack. And literally it would have taken him 30 seconds to blow the rack out, blow the dirt out of the bottom of the rack, mm-hmm. and it would be gone. He goes, so whenever I paint a part on that rack, it gets dirty because of that dirt right there. And I'm like, why didn't you clean it? Uh-huh. So I'm sitting there going, wow, this guy really doesn't want to be here. I've tried working with him. It's obvious. And so that was probably one of the first times, because I used to take it personally, right? Mm-hmm. This guy is not working, mm-hmm. and he thinks I'm stupid. What do you think? I'm a punk? You think I don't know? You think, mm-hmm. and I would get into all of this ego stuff would come up for me, and I was releasing and working on letting go of all of that, right? And then I was just like, wow, this guy just really doesn't want to be here, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. But, you know, but for me, you know, for the whole group, mm-hmm. I need to let him go, right? So I was literally mm-hmm. like, you know, bless, you know, I wish you well. Mm-hmm. You have a wife, kids, I wish you well, but you know, I can't work with this anymore. And when I let him go, and he knew the day he pulled up in a car, he knew that day, I don't know how he found out, but he knew, he brought a van, was able to load all his stuff, you know? And then when they find out, the whole shop was happy. Every guy in the shop was happy, mm-hmm. Got a better painter, you know, more cohesive for the whole group. And basically mm-hmm. when you sometimes look at what's the most loving and compassionate thing for the whole group.
Yeah. It's not,
you don't know.
Right. That's why, it's well, just
you know,
sort of like,
you know,
keep turning it over.
Right. You have to turn it over and ask for guidance, ask for whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and in that moment, I saw it, was able to, and for me was able to move forward, you know, from a place of peace and compassion and love, even as I was letting this guy go. Mm-hmm. Normally, I would have been mad.
Right.
I would have taken it personally, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're making me do this, and now I'm going to have to do something that's ugly, and I don't want to do it, and, you know, F you, I'm pissed off at you for having, making me, putting me in this position where I have to do this, right? Mm-hmm. It's all this victim mentality, but this particular time was one of the clearest moments for me. It was just like, you know, 2 years ago, where I actually was sending this guy love and compassion as I'm firing him, which sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like not judging the action, right? But the energy or whatever you want to call the intention. And ultimately that being the best thing for the whole group. And then I'd never thought of that. Yeah. Never had looked at it that way because I was stuck in my fear, in my, you know, my own egoic fear process with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's easy to get caught. I mean, I definitely I can watch myself do things, and sometimes I can stop it, but sometimes I don't.
Sure.
But at the same time, I feel like if I didn't have A Course in Miracles, I you know, I'd probably have an ulcer because mm-hmm. of what I mm-hmm. experience in like a day job thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say is, I personally, I feel a lot more peaceful
mm-hmm.
and happier.
Absolutely.
Because of having this material in my life and a practice, a real course to apply. And at the same time, you know, we'll probably get into this in future shows, but I mean, I have seen changes that I think, even recently, I won't discuss details around it, but basically I had an employee that was having an issue with another one. And, you know, I didn't really do much other than just sort of go, I want to hand this over. Mm-hmm. You know, let's bring peace here, Holy Spirit. And I did a couple things, but really to see those changes happen in people individually mm-hmm. without really I didn't do much.
Right.
It just allowed the situation to heal itself.
Yeah.
Because that employee that was having issues with another one came in and said, I don't know what you did, but man, it's awesome. And
I'm
just sat there because it's like, it's not Absolutely. Me. Like, it wasn't me, but I'm really glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just not that we have to have external things to validate it, but to me, it's just sort of like, yeah.
Absolutely. We need encouragement along the way, right?
Yeah. And yeah, that's why I love this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because it's never you, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But you open that space in your own heart through your own practice, it radiates. And that's, I think, what the Course would call the echo. You know, that as you heal, your brother and sisters heal, right? And they may not even consciously know it. So, you know, you're always looking at when you're not in peace, why am I not at peace? And, and how can I choose peace in this moment?
That's
it.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, there is a learning, at least for me, mm-hmm. and it's been to trust in mm-hmm. what the Course says, which is, you know, there is no order of difficulty to miracles.
Right.
Right. And I hear the words and I go, okay, I get it. But then when I'm in things, it's sort of like, oh, I still got to do this one on my own because it's hard.
Right. The specialness, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's why it says you can't keep anything special.
Yeah.
That you can't hold any aspect of your life where you want to be in charge because it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that everything gets turned over and everything gets turned over. Sometimes it feels like there's a linearity to it, right?
Because
that's just where we are. But yeah, you don't have, it doesn't work where you say, oh, you know, in my marriage, I won't apply it, but in my work, I will, or vice versa, or whatever, that it's every aspect of your life.
Exactly. And, well, one, we can keep talking about this forever.
We're just getting warmed up, I think.
I see we've got a minute left, and I think we just want to start wrapping things up.
Okay.
And basically,
all right, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think, future shows, we're going to have some guests coming on. I believe our friend Darren is game.
I think he's lined up, right? Yeah.
There's some other folks I know we're going to want to contact. I'd love to bring in people from study groups
and
have them on too. It'd be great.
Anybody wants to call who might listen? That would be awesome.
And definitely be diving into specific topics mm-hmm. from the course and course-related books and speakers. And I think, do you want to leave with another quote from the course?
Gosh. Threw a curveball on me there, Scott. Well, I have no idea.
I'll pull this one up here. So Before we leave, just one more quote here. This is from the text. It's chapter 4, and it just says, "Your ego is never at stake because God did not create it. Your spirit is never at stake because he did."
That's beautiful.
Powerful and simple. I love those.
Which is the whole thing. So anyway, if you happen to listen, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. We had fun. I had fun. I made it. I didn't cry. Not that that matters. And I probably will at some point, which is fine.
Well, I hope so.
But anyway.
All right. Well, that was cool. Thank you, everybody.
Yay.
Love to you.
Love to you all.
And talk to you in a couple weeks.
Cool. We are out.